Good evening, everyone. Before we begin, let's pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your mercy and your goodness towards us. We pray that as we study the example that Jesus gave regarding how to give a Bible study, may we be blessed. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have given a Bible study before? Let me see your hands. Okay, many of you. I don't know about you, but in my experience, when I was younger, we have these Bible study, what do you call them? Bible study guides you use. It's already printed in the format of question and answer. Yeah, are you familiar? Or do you have something like that, right? And I believe those studies, there were like 20 to 30 studies on various topics of Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I would go and use them to give Bible study. Yeah? And I am thinking you have done that too, right? Something like that. So here I am giving a Bible study using the guideline. Basically, reading what's in there and just reading the question and giving the person the opportunity to turn their Bible and ask the question again and let them answer from the Bible. And then if it's correct, then you give a comment. If it's not correct, then you kind of guide them, yes? And they just go from question 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's like that, right? And at the end, you ask them this appeal question. Would you like to accept this truth today with the help of God? Something like that. Yeah. And that was a blessing. And I learned a lot by using those study guides. However, over the years, I have given Bible studies to many different people. I have learned something. And that is, you cannot speak the same way to everybody. So, tonight's topic, how to give a Bible study. But it is not about how to use those Bible study guidelines. You can easily do that. But we have to come up higher. We have to understand how to make it more effective. Because we can easily become like a robot, giving Bible study in a mechanical way. And you cannot give the same way, you speak the same way, the tone of your voice is the same, the speed of your voice is the same, exactly the same to everybody. Now if you do that, I mean, it's not like you're doing a very bad job. You are doing something, but more and more you do it, you begin to recognize you just cannot do that to everybody. You understand what I'm talking about? Okay. So, I want us to learn from the Master. And that Master is not me, it's Jesus. And when we learn from Him, we begin to realize that He didn't speak the same way to everybody. Obviously, we weren't there to hear His voice. Obviously, we don't have any clues. We may from the book, The Desire of Ages, but we don't really understand the tone of His voice. However, based upon what He said, we can glean the idea how He said them. So, here we have, in the book of John, chapter 4, Woman at the Well. When we go through this story, I believe I have given this presentation before here, but to a small group. But I want to present this to all of you. So you understand the Master Bible teacher, Jesus Christ. So, let's go through them, shall we? Now, what are we going to discover? You know, in terms of giving you or getting a training on how to give a Bible study, it can take easily 2 or 3 weeks. Really. You just cannot learn everything in one evening. So tonight, I only have a choice to emphasize only one aspect, and that is pay a close attention to Jesus. But when you pay attention to Jesus, you have to pay attention how he said what he said. Okay? And let us try to do that. All right, here we go. I'm sure you know the story in John chapter 4, verse 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. So here we have Jesus and his disciples. They have to go through Samaria. And that picture is really, it's a picture of Samaria. There are some trees, but it's a barren and dry land. Verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Okay? So, Samaria has this, you know, Hebrew history behind it. We understand that Samaritans are mixed blood. At the same time, they do have some Jewish heritage. The place they are is, yeah, you can see, it's connected to Jacob and Joseph. Now, Jacob's well, by the way, that picture is not Jacob's well. That's the only well, the picture of well that I can find that is perhaps close to what it's like back in Israel, okay? But anyhow, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being how? Wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the what? Sixth hour. Okay. When you look at the Bible text, you may think, okay, the Bible just simply says he sat on the well and it was about the sixth hour. And when the Bible says sixth hour, what hour is that? 12 noon. Okay? And I guess he's sitting at the well because maybe he wants to drink water. But he has nothing to draw the water, yeah? Okay. And the Bible says he is wearied, yes? You know what I'm doing right now? I'm doing, if I can put it, there's a baby in the stage. If I can put it, I'm doing what I call CSI investigation. Trying to find out what was really happening. Okay? So here, Jesus, the Bible says he is tired. And I'm sure he's tired of what? Walking and the heat. Okay? So if you're tired and you're hot, the best place to sit down is on the well. Is that the best place? It should be under a tree, right? Right? And do we see some pictures of trees? Yeah? Do they have some trees? Yes or no? Now, I am not sure. Look, I understand. I don't know. I am not sure. But is it possible? Is it possible that around the well, Jacob's well, there were trees? That's very possible. It may not be, but most likely, because when I see pictures of Samaria, I see trees. So then, if there was a tree, why didn't he sit under a tree? or in the midst of the trees? Huh? Why he sat on hot? Do you think that well was pretty hot? Because it was made out of stone, right? And you know what happens to stone under the sun? What happens? It's like, oh, I'm so hot, I'm so tired, let me sit on this hot stone. Am I asking a pretty good question? It's like, wow, if you look at it this way, Jesus, what are you doing? That's kind of weird, right? I believe there's a reason why. And that reason is, listen carefully. If there was no tree, then I don't know. But most likely, I am assuming that there were trees. If that is so, it was his decision to sit on the well, not under a tree. Why? Imagine. Just imagine. Here comes a woman from the town. She has a basin on her shoulder. She's coming to the well, right? Yeah? When she came to the well and she's about to draw the water, here comes a man coming out of the bush. How do you think she is going to react?
Run away.
All right? She'll run away, yes or no? A man coming out of a bush under the tree. So, if my observation is correct, trying to avoid any unnecessary stress, that's a good word, he decided to sit on the well to show his clear intention. Yes or no? Like, he's there to drink water. So from distance, when the woman's coming, it looks like, okay, there's a man. What is he doing there? She cannot tell from the distance, but at least since the man is sitting on the well, maybe he's there to draw water. Okay. So she came. What am I trying to say? If my observation is correct, Jesus is teaching us this one lesson. You know what that is? You really have to consider how other person feels about you. Meaning, he sat there in order to gain micro amount of trust. He didn't create any unnecessary stress to create distrust. So when we are giving Bible study, you have to be so sensitive to people's feeling, do you understand? That you don't say the wrong thing to give them unnecessary stress. Are you with me? Because many times, my friends, when we're giving Bible studies, we say the wrong thing. And it creates a problem. Okay, but let's move on. Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Now, and it's pretty obvious that she is coming to draw water. Now, and I don't know how far, I don't know if the area was pretty flat so that you can see the person coming from distance or not, but there was at least some distance that Jesus can see that a woman is coming to him, yes? And do you think Jesus is God, so he knows everything. But as humanly speaking, you think Jesus just looked at her like, oh, a woman is coming? Or do you think Jesus, as a human, he did some human observation? What kind of observation that you think he did or that we need to make as a human? She came in the middle of them. So, obviously, you're going to ask the question, why is she coming now? Yeah? Why is she coming now? The best time to draw water is in the morning. Okay? Now, you already know her background. Okay? So can you imagine what kind of footsteps she had as she is coming to the well? Her facial expression, how she was carrying the water pot. Maybe I'm looking into it too much. If all that is, I mean, obviously, I don't know, we don't know, there's no more details about that. But the point that I'm trying to make is, to you, you have to be very observant. Why? Here's the reason why. When you're giving a Bible study, many times it is an intellectual discussion. Okay? Intellectual discussion. But when something is given to you intellectually, you can be intellectually intrigued. But in order for that intellectual knowledge to become heartfelt knowledge, somehow there's got to be a link between intellectual understanding to the person's need. Do you understand? You can give Bible studies only based on intellectual level. If you do not know how to put that truth into their personal need, they may not continue to hold it with love, with passion. So you have to understand how to observe them in order to understand their need. And many times people are not going to tell you, okay, my needs are 1, 2, 3, A, B, C. So many times you got to be able to guess or use common sense and be able to pick up obvious signs. You understand what I'm talking about? Yeah? To me, it's very important. So then, how can we understand people's need? Number one, gender. Okay? You got to be able to tell. You need to be able to understand male needs and female needs. Yes? Okay? Because we are different. Yes or no? Men and women are different. Yeah? Just to give you a few examples. When we men think one thing at a time. Amen. Amen. Yeah? It's like when we think we have a box of thinking about finance, a box of thinking about fixing my car, box of thinking about fixing the house, box of playing with children. You understand? And box of thinking about my work. Okay? So when a man is just thinking about his work, woman comes along and the woman says, "Are you thinking about me?" The man has to say, "No." But for her, if he's not thinking about her all the time, he does not love her. But the man says, "No, I love you, but right now I'm with the box of my work." But the box of love for you is over there. And I have a schedule for that one. Yes or no? Right? See, we men, we understand this. That's how we operate, that's how we think. But for a woman, they can think all the boxes, they're all in one box. It's all connected. Work is connected to finance, love, children, the kitchen, food, grocery. Everything is connected, right? So we're a different species, right? And now the biggest difference between male and female, females, they can say to their friends like this, "I need to go to the restroom. You want to come?" Yes or no? "I got to go to the toilet. Would you like to come?" the woman can invite their female friends to go to the restroom, right? But we guys, we can never say to, hey, John, I'm going to the bathroom. You want to come? Hey, man, you go by yourself. We are different, right? You have to understand that. You have to understand that. So, when you meet... really, when I give a Bible study to a woman, when I give a Bible study to a man, it may change. What would change? Application that I'm going to use, and the tone of voice I'm going to use, certain words I'm not going to use. You understand? I'm catering my Bible study according to them. So gender is important. What else do you think? Age. A knee for teenager is not the same as knee for those who are in 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. Is that right? So when I give my Bible study, the way I illustrate, the way I connect, how I punch it, is all going to be different based on their age. Can you understand that? Yeah? You got to be sensitive. Now, these things are obvious, but you just have to be aware of them and acknowledge them and use them. And family. What am I talking about family? Do they have stable family? Yes or no? Are they from broken family? Single parent? Divorced? Separated? Domestic violence, okay? A dysfunctional home, or you have to understand their family background. And obviously, in the beginning, you don't know, so every time you give a Bible study, you get to know them a little more. So you have this strategic? Thank you. I have a hard time saying that word. Chit-chatting time. Your chit-chat is not about, okay, how's the weather? You like the weather? It's too hot, isn't it? Oh, yeah. I mean, you can talk about the weather, but you really need to get to know about them. But don't ask these questions to them as like you're trying to interrogate them. Tell me about your family. No. In a very nice, in a casual way, you get to know them. And they will tell you, okay? And be sensitive. And education. Do they have high school graduation paper? They graduate from college? They graduate from uni? They have master's, PhD? Are you with me? If you're talking to someone that only graduated from high school, You may say certain things differently. If you're talking to someone who is PhD, you may speak a certain way. Yeah? Okay. Education. And then, occupation. Where do they work? Do you have these terminologies in Australia? White collar and blue collar? Yeah. What kind of job? Are they a truck driver or office worker, realtor or salesperson, grocery, a waiter? Where do they work? Okay. And you have to kind of imagine if they work in a certain place. If they work as a sales clerk, then try to imagine the kind of stresses that person is going through. If you have no idea, go and do a job visitation. Really, when you're giving Bible study, you really need to get to know them. Do your best to get to know them. Okay? Hobby. What do they like to do when they are free? Okay? Hobby. Do they like going fishing, or They like to go ride bicycles or motorcycle, or they like to go catching crocodiles. I mean, find out. Okay, they like to hunt snakes. Don't go with them. Okay, find out what they like to do, because what they like to do say a lot about who they are. And I don't have it on my screen, but when I go into their home, pay attention to what they have on their walls. Yeah? Because whatever they have on their walls, most likely it's not necessary for them to have it. Furnitures, chairs is necessary. Tables, necessary. But whatever they have on their wall is very, it can show what is so precious to them. Because they're taking extra time to put them on the wall. Yes or no? Yeah? If you want to know about what your son or daughter is thinking, look what they have on their wall. That's really what they're thinking. Their dream, their wishing. You know, one time I was doing corporate work, literature evangelism, and I came to this one door, and the lady came out. As she's coming out, she goes, "I'm not buying anything." And I said, "Ma'am, it's fine. Let me just tell you something about this book." She goes, "I'm not buying. I'm not buying." And then you know what happened? She's like this, "I'm not buying. I'm not buying." Basically, she's saying, "Come in." And I'm like, "Okay, I'm coming in anyhow." But she's keep telling me she's not buying anything. She is not interested. So when I was sitting in her living room, I saw on her wall all these pictures of her children and her grandchildren. You know what I did? I said, "Who are these people?" When I asked that question, her eyes sparkled. And she started talking about her children, her grandchildren, this person, that person. And I said to her, "Ma'am, as a young man, these books, they help me. And I'm sure your grandchildren can be helped by reading these books." You know what? She bought them just like that. She bought those books just like that. And as we're going out, she was actually in tears, thanking me for coming. Amazing, right? You have to understand their needs. She doesn't feel she has a need for herself, but she feels a deep need for her children. So if I'm giving her Bible study, I may say something about her grandchildren. Okay. Now, hobby. So the Bible says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water." So here comes a woman. She is coming to draw water. And if I can guess, the way she's walking, her face, her eyes, she's trying to avoid looking at other people. She may look a little depressed, tired. But is it possible that the way she was walking, her facial expression, is it possible that she is really communicating? You know how we can communicate a lot of things without a word? Just our expression with our body and face? Is it possible that she is expressing a lot of, "Nobody can accept me"? Yes or no? She is walking as though she is dejected, rejected, condemned, guilty. Yeah? So if she's walking like that, she is so much wishing to receive what? Acceptance. Exactly. Exactly. Acceptance. That is her, what I called, felt need. Yes or no? That is her felt need. Acceptance. To that woman, Jesus said, Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. We weren't there to hear how Jesus said it. But if you can imagine knowing Jesus, how do you think he said those words? Give me some water. Do you think he said it in a condescending way? Give me some water, woman. What do you think? And obviously not. How did he say? Do you think he said in a very godlike way? Like, let there be light. Give me some water. I am God. What do you think? To be honest with you, I have no idea. I have no idea. But I think I can make this guess. And that is, the tone of his voice, it was such that he is really saying with the feelings in his voice, give me some water. It was like, I have no problem accepting you. Are you with me? I have no problem accepting you. Could you give me some water? You know, you can say in such a way, I really like you, or I'm glad you're here. Could you give me some water? You know how, you know, you just cannot say, I love you in a very serious way, and the other person feels loved. Can you imagine your husband says, honey, I love you. You call the police? My husband is strange. Can you come and take him away? Right? If you say, I love you, you got to say it in a very sweet way to communicate, right? It's not just what you say, how you say it. So Jesus, why do I mention this? According to her felt need, I believe he said those words in a such way that he's saying, woman, I accept you. Do not be afraid. How do I know that that's what he said? How do I know that that's how he said? Because her response. Yeah? Like, look at her response. So Jesus, a woman, they're talking. Jesus said, give me to drink. And the woman's response. But before we go into the woman's response, there's something very interesting. Verse 8, it says, for his disciples were gone away unto the what? City to buy meat. So basically what it looks like, Jesus sent all his 12 disciples to buy meat. Yes or no? To go buy food, right? Food for how many days? Maybe for just lunch? Maybe for that day? Maybe one day? But when you have 12 people with you, I mean, you can buy a lot of food, yes or no? So why did he send all of them away? He could have said, okay, Nathaniel and Andrew and you go, but the rest of you can stay with me. Jesus could have said, rest of you, you sit here and watch the way I give my Bible study. Yeah? But he didn't. He sent all of them away. All 12. You know why? It was for her. Can you imagine? Here comes a woman from Samaria, right? And then when she came near to the well, there were 13 men. Just men. Just 13 men sitting around. What do you think how she's going to respond? I guess I don't need water today. And they're all Jews. Right? Perhaps Jesus knew about this. So he said, I better send these guys away to make her feel more comfortable. Go buy meat. Then why is that mentioned? To let us know what Jesus was thinking. All right? Verse 9. Then said the woman, this is her response, then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Her question is basically what? How can you? Don't, just reading these words. Basically she's saying, how can you talk to me? Yes or no? I'm Samaritan, you're a Jew. How can you talk to me? Okay? Now, do you think she would ask that kind of question if Jesus said it in a very mean way? She's asking that question because Jesus said it in such a way that Jesus is accepting her. Yes or no? If he said, give me some water, she'll be like, walk away. Get your own water. Right? But she's saying this. Now, when you read those words, is she being negative or positive? It's like, how can you talk to me? We have no dealings with each other. It's kind of negative, but it's positive. How do I know? Don't you know sometimes people may speak in an angry way, but they can still express positive? So what she's saying is basically, I cannot believe you're talking to me. But we're not supposed to talk to each other. But I'm surprised you're talking to me. How is it thou? So, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gifts of God, and who it is that says to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. I love the way Jesus talks. What was her question? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, how can you talk to me? And the obvious answer should be what? I am not like other Jews, yes or no? I am different. That's more logical way of communicating, right? But the ones that Jesus gave, if you know who is the one that is asking you to give me some water, then you are asked of him of water. The master is speaking here. You got to learn from him. What is he doing here?
He's being unpredictable.
What's that?
Unpredictable,
okay? Maybe. But perhaps she wants to find out how can this Jew can speak to a Samaritan. But what he is talking about is something deeper. What Jesus was saying is this. If you really know who I am, you're going to ask me for water. What is he saying about her? What did he just say about her? You are not only thirst for water, but you have some other need. And Jesus was able to point that out to her. But she didn't catch it. She's thinking, literal water. That's why she said, Jesus is simply saying, if you know, and her response, by the way, that's not the woman. I just picked that up from Google. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And from whence then hast thou that living water? She is expressing her doubt, right? How can you give me water? I mean, you're the one that asked me for water, but now you're saying, if I know who you are, I'm going to ask you for water. How can you give me water? You have nothing to draw the water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof, himself and his children and his cattle? Right there she made herself, she included herself under the family of Jacob. Our father Jacob. See, you know what she's expressing right there? I know I'm a Samaritan, but I still believe in the faith of Jacob. Because he is our father. See what she's doing? She's showing a sign of faith. So you got to catch these. Many times the way we speak, we give signals here and there, but not clearly. But we have to be able to catch it and be able to understand it and give a good answer. This is too much of thinking. Yeah? You just like to go back to the mechanical way. Just, you know, question one, question two. So her response, thou has nothing. So what I'd like to show you right now, Jesus, give me to drink. Positive. Her response, how is it thou? Kind of negative. His response, if thou knew, you would ask me. Her response, you have nothing. So Jesus he's being positive. She's being what? Negative. But Jesus didn't give up. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, you know that Jesus is speaking something spiritual, yes? But she didn't get it spiritually. She got it literally. Again, Jesus said, if you drink this water, shall never thirst. Her response, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Look at this. This is humanity. Her felt need is acceptance, yes or no? But here, what she likes to express, she likes to express her physical need. What's that? What is that physical need? Water. She wants to have constant water coming to her house. Any plumbers here today? Any plumbers? No? She's saying, I need water every day coming to my house so that I don't need to come back to this well again. That's what she's asking for. And if you attend to her expressed need, do you think you really solve her problem? If you decided to put the water pump from the well and you have a pipe going all the way to her house, going to her house and into her kitchen, and you give her this faucet and water comes out, do you think her problem is solved? But the way she is saying, that's what she's saying, yeah? In that very moment, Jesus could have said, well, that's not really your need. Your need is really acceptance, forgiveness, confession, and being converted. Right? But Jesus, he waited until she really recognizes her own need, her spiritual need. Now she became positive. Before she was negative. How is it thou? Thou hast nothing. But when Jesus said, you will never thirst again. Then she is like positive. Give me this water. And then Jesus said, go call thy husband and come here. And how do you think Jesus said those words? Go and call your husband and come here. Do you think he said like this? Oh yeah, you want this water? Go call your husband and bring him right now. You think he said that way? What do you think? Yeah? What am I trying to say? In the beginning, he showed acceptance, yes? And then the next thing that he showed, what? He has something better. Okay? And then when she became open, now she's open now, right? Then when the person is open, okay, I'm positive now. I want what you got. Then he was able to point to the problem that exists in her life. Really, giving a Bible study is not just intellectual thing. You're working with the spiritual, emotional, psychological, mental mind. Do you understand? So he waited until towards a little bit later to convict her. Go bring your husband. Oh yeah, you want this water? I'm happy that you want this water. Well, let's make it a joyful day and let's make a family thing. Go bring your husband. We can all celebrate. Call thy husband. Her response, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. I'm sure she said it like this, I have no husband. I'm sure she said it in such a way, let's not talk about this anymore. I have no husband. You know the body language that people give? I have no husband. You know, like, come on, let's not talk about it. Maybe she used that. And Jesus, he could have said, what do you mean you have no husband? I know you got a man in your house. Right? But no, he said, Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. So, he stayed positive. Even though he could have been negative, but he stayed positive. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saith thou truly. So, even though it was a very negative situation, but the way he said it in a very positive way. That's pretty amazing. You're right. You're correct. You say exactly the truth. The person you're living with, he's not your husband. So, good job. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now she's thinking, now she's kind of changing her topic, and she's trying to say, huh, you're a prophet, huh? You know my life. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, he say, and that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She's like, oh, you're a prophet? I got a question for you. Let's not talk about my marital situation here, but let's talk about some doctrinal issues. And Jesus was able to use her tangent and bring it back to her need. Look at this. She's like, okay, let's have a Bible doctrinal discussion. Our father says, Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour what? Cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Check this out. Look at this. Right there, for thou hast had what? Five husbands. That means Jesus, he revealed something about the past. Yes or no? Okay. But over here, Jesus is revealing something that will happen in the future. Yeah? Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. But the hour cometh in the future, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The hour cometh. The woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will what? Tell us all things. Now, according to her, who was Messiah to her? I mean, Messiah means Christ, but according to her, who was Christ? What is the main characteristics about Christ, Messiah? That He is going to tell all things. And what is Jesus doing? Telling her what? All things about what? Her past, and the future, and the present. So according to her, in her mind, Messiah knows everything. And when Jesus came to talk with her, He did exactly how she understands who the Messiah should be. Revealing the past, revealing the future, and the present time. So then, that tells me, the way He spoke to her exactly according to her need and her understanding. You understand? Think about it. Not only that, look at this. When the woman said unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He has come, He will tell us all things. When she said these things, do you think she said it like, who do you think you are? You think you're some kind of Messiah? True Messiah can tell everything. You think she said it like that? She was, at this moment, it's like, He know me, the past. He know my present. And whatever He says about the future, it sounds good, it's correct. So if He knows the past, present, and future, could He be the Messiah? But here is my point. So she's already feeling that He is the Messiah, the Christ, the divine divinity, yes? But she stayed. If you are such a bad sinner, how would you respond? How would you respond when you knew that you're standing before God? You may run away. You may hide. But she stayed. You know why? Because the whole time, Jesus, the way Jesus spoke to her, I accept you. I know your past. Even though I know your past, I accept you and I want to give you something better. Because she felt that acceptance, that gave her courage to continue with the Bible study. May I say it like that? And now she's asking, are you the one? And then Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee, am He. Can you imagine? Yes, I am the Messiah. In that very moment, she felt how? The Messiah, the Christ, God in person. He accepts me. He's willing to forgive me. He is willing to embrace me. He is not rejecting me. Jesus said, am He. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and says to the men in Samaria, and what did she say? Come and see a what? A man which told me all things that I did. Is not this Christ? She's like, I know He is the Christ. He is the Christ. How do I know? He told me everything that I did in the past. And she was really what? excited. How many of you would get excited if somebody can tell everything about you? All your secrets. This person can just, they know, he knows. Would you get excited? She got excited, you know why? Because she felt the divine love from Jesus. He knows me everything, but he still accepts me. And then she became the greatest evangelist that we ever know. Why? How do I know? She was able to bring the whole city to Jesus. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. What do we need to learn from Jesus? Well, tonight's presentation, it wasn't about how to give Sabbath truth better. There's time for that. It wasn't about how to give sanctuary message better. There's time for that. How to give the Mark of the Beast message better. There's a time for that. But what you need to learn tonight, how to meet where they are, and how are you going to do that? You really need to understand them. Meaning you really have to show how to know the person really well. You really have to allow God's love working in you. And with that love of God in your heart, you truly show interest in them. When you show interest in them, that will open the heart of that person to trust you. And when they trust you, they will reveal things about themselves. And then you get to know them better. And with who they, with the understanding of who they are, their needs, felt need, expressed need, deeper need, needs in different levels, when you're giving Bible study, you speak accordingly. And I guarantee you will have more success. Rather than just going through the mechanical way of going through the Bible study. This requires, you know what, this requires more of sensitivity, observing spirit, being keen to their movements and their actions and reactions. Discernment. Wisdom. Does this sound like does this sound like psychological? It is. We just need to realize that in this world, have you heard this term? I'm going to talk about this more tomorrow. Have you heard IQ and EQ? Yeah? This is a Bible study based on EQ. And if you really realize, IQ is only a small percentage the way we operate. Much the way human beings operate is based on EQ, emotional. So you have to develop how to speak to them emotionally, but with the solid Bible truth. And how to get this kind of wisdom and understanding? There's no really a book to teach you this. You have to pray that the Holy Spirit will empower you. And when you actually go out and give Bible studies, you have to learn from your experiences. And God will teach you. Amen? God bless you as you continue to grow in Christ. Let's all stand for closing prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, tonight we try to learn from the Master, from Jesus. And we know that we cannot match what you are able to do. But Father, help us to be humble, open-minded, in tune with your spirit, have the gift of discernment, be able to observe, to have compassion in our heart, that we are in touch with the infirmities of others. that we understand how to speak tenderly, clearly, when to speak, when not to speak, what to say, how to say. Give us this wisdom that our work can be more effective, that we may be able to win more souls for the kingdom of God. So may we be like Jesus in every aspect of life. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name.